I cannot live another day without air conditioning.
Says tomorrow's gonna be hotter.
Hotter?
Like yesterday.
Yesterday? Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
I'll call today.
Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
Ah, shit, you're right. I forgot. I'm sorry.
You call now.
Sorry about that. I'll call him. I'll call him now. I'll call him soon.
Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
The AC. The AC. I forgot all about that. Sorry. I will.
You call now.
Get on the phone and call them right up.
You call now. Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
Yeah, I did call them yesterday. Actually, I did call them yesterday, and they were closed. They said that, you know, I need to call back like Monday or something.
I cannot live another day without air conditioning.
Okay, fine. I'll try again tomorrow.
You call now.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Yesterday you said you'd call Sears.
Okay, so look, I actually did end up calling them. And it turns out that I have a 280 credit score, and they won't allow me to do any sort of financing. So what I think we should do is look into maybe go to Walmart and get like a window unit or something like that. We can't afford central AC.
I cannot live another day without air conditioning.
I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do about it. Okay.
I cannot live another day without air conditioning.
Maybe if you could get a job sometime instead of sitting around the house yelling at me about the fucking air conditioning.
You call now.
No, you call.
You call now.
You call.
You call now.
I should have never moved in with you. Hi, everyone. Good morning or evening to you, or maybe afternoon, whatever you're listening to this on. This is episode 2 of Lower Your Expectation, my solo podcast, my just for fun, funny haha podcast that I am having fun doing, although it is starting to already become a job. Already the lazy person within me is saying, ah, nah, man, like this, I gotta like find guests every week and come up with skits and topics, but it's good. It gives me something to do while I'm counting my Trump bucks and deciding whether I want to go ahead and go outside yet. I'm holding on to this COVID-19 thing as long as I can, to be honest. I'm already like, ah, shit, I gotta go out and start hugging people again. That's something that's very popular here, and even with my friends back home, is the casual hugs. I am kind of glad that those are going to have some pause, because I've always felt awkward doing them, especially because I think there's a latent kind of sexism behind them, like just in the fact that in my experience, it's usually like women you hug and then men you handshake. And I think what happened is that people were getting like privy to that, and now you have to just fucking hug everyone. And I'm just not into it. I just don't. I've had a lot of awkward end of shoots with people where I'm like standing there like Frankenstein, and they're just like, everyone's just hugging each other and, oh, see you later. And, you know, thankfully it's not that like European kiss on the cheek thing, but I do not like just to hug everyone. I'm not as weird as like Howard Stern or people who are like, oh, I can't even handshake. Handshakes are cool. I'm all about a handshake. You know, that's like an essential part of work, and you really can tell about people by their handshake, especially if people are tryhards and they give you those like really brutal handshakes for no reason. Like, come on, just get over it, Grandpa. But anyways, yeah, I'm trying to keep on this this COVID fear train. I'm actually the one perpetuating the fear around the city to just stay home and don't bother me. And it's your birthday today, and you want me to go out to like get you some dinner or something? I don't think that's a good idea, man. still that virus going around. I don't think I can do that. I think it's better if I just stay home and write something funny on your birthday wall on Facebook. We all have to make sacrifices in this time of need. So I did get a late start in this podcast this weekend. I just wasn't feeling it Friday. I don't know. I sometimes wake up and it's part of the luxury and disability of kind of working for myself for a while is that if I'm not in the mood to do something and I don't have to do it, I just cannot find the willpower to make it happen. You know, I don't know if any of you are just familiar with that feeling where you're just like, I can do it, but then I have to force myself to do it. And I was trying that a few times over the weekend where I would just get in front of this microphone and just try. And I just would immediately be like, no, this is dumb. And I'm trying too hard. You can't try too hard. It's a general rule in life in general is never try too hard. So I actually spent most of the weekend just fucking around with a new mic stand that I got for my podcast setup. I got this little arm thing that you can use to articulate the mic on the desk and move it back and forth. It doesn't take up a lot of space. And it is very essential. It's a lot easier than what I had before, just a little mic stand. But something I do a lot whenever I'm too lazy to actually get work done is just kind of screw around with my equipment. I've always been a big nerd about the equipment and gear, especially. It's what I do professionally on the side. I'm trying to get more work of is actually doing podcast engineering where I go and set up the microphones and do the recording. And I think it's very fascinating. I think sound is a really fascinating thing. I'm very happy that podcasting is a deal in this day and age because I think, you know, a lot of people, including me, figured that radio in like long form, just kind of spoken word stuff wouldn't be a deal, wouldn't be a thing anymore. You know, already like radio was going down. I mean, since the 40s, people have stopped just listening to things and they want their pictures too with it. You know, but it's still fun, you know, to have all these podcasts. And it's just great to be in a world where those are still a thing. The thing about podcasts that is still kind of annoying is that they're called podcasts. I wish we could come up with another word for them because podcast is an Apple thing. You know, it's like saying like, oh, let's Google something. It's become this genericized trademark. And I'm very surprised that Apple hasn't taken any action to stop that. You would think they usually are very specific about stuff like that. But with podcasts, for some reason, they've just kind of decided that it's fine that competitors can call them the same thing, even though none of us are using iPods anymore and it's not connected to Apple. I actually did get my show on the iTunes store. You can find Lower Your Expectation on the iTunes store if you want to subscribe there and get it to your player. It took a few days for it to get reviewed. I don't know how they review it. I've done this a few times for professional clients, and it is a lot faster. So I guess they actually do have someone sit there and listen to it and make sure I'm not, like, you know, having like Nazi propaganda or something on an uncensored podcast, because they took about 3 days to review and approve it, and so now it's on the store. I kind of want some new cover art. If there's anyone out there who has some graphic design skills they want to send my way, I do too, but sometimes it's fun if someone else makes it. I want it to be something really kind of basic and simple, but I might be taking the joke too far. One of my friends, his only complaint about it was that my name in the branding kind of wasn't that nice. And that's kind of the idea, is that this is kind of the anti-marketable podcast. For right now, at least, is that I kind of like that I put a lot of work in myself, you know, as a audio person and an editor who's been working since 2005. I do not half-ass this shit. Even if I try to, I can't. One of my clients even told me that one time. He's like, your half-ass is most people's full asses. Because I was worried one time with a project. I was like, I was kind of lazy about something and, you know, I shouldn't have done that. And they were like, don't worry. He's like, your half-ass is most people's full asses. So that's fine. And that's what's kind of cool about this podcast, is that I'm actually putting way more work into the actual product than any of this like sharing and marketing. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to do that, because I know that I am limiting my audience by not trying at all. But it's a fine line, because I had to make a hard choice, because I'm making my own website to get work, because eventually these Trump bucks are going to run out and I need to find actual paying clients. So I'm working on, you know, my yearly portfolio site with what I'm doing. And I kind of came to the realization that I can't put this podcast on there. Even though it's something I work on a lot, I can't, because that would sacrifice the kind of whole idea of this, which is supposed to be like, this is off work. This is who I am. I am centering myself as little as possible in people who I have on. And to my clients, you know, there are some clients already who've listened to it. And, you know, those are clients who already get me. You know, they understand me. They understand that, you know, I'm kind of goofy and kind of silly, but I get the job done. And unfortunately, I don't think I could just go to a stranger and be like, listen to my podcast where I curse and talk about drug use and have on and have on, you know, guests to talk about the same thing for them. I don't think that would be very cool to try to get work and stuff. Maybe, but it's kind of nice to have that separation. I used to have a rule with Facebook in general that people who I work with and respect really in any way, I can't add. Like my Facebook is me, and I do kind of the same thing on there. And I've gotten like complaints about my Facebook before, you know, dumb ones from just friends, but sometimes some serious ones from my family members, which is why I'm very careful in how I'm releasing it to them too, on which of my family listens to it. I made the first episode kind of by design, way more like literally family friendly, not family friendly in terms of you can have your kids listen to this, but family friendly in that my grandparents would not be upset and give me phone calls to make sure everything's okay, which I love about them. But I've had to explain to my grandpa a few times that, if I post something on Facebook, and especially if it's like sad and I feel it sounds like I'm in a bad mood, like it's mostly exaggerated. It's kind of the beauty of comedy in general. And, you know, even some of the stories I'll tell on here, they're exaggerations if they make what I'm saying funnier and more interesting. It's kind of how conversation works. So, you know, if I've had to tell my grandpa a few times that, you know, if I sound like I'm upset online or something, I might be, but it's not that big of a deal, you know. Or if something happens that's bad and I complain about it, like I'm not like stewing about it. It's actually a healthy thing. It's actually a healthy thing to talk about it in public, in my opinion. And my Facebook is just a way to stay in touch with my friends back home, who make up like 99% of my friends, sadly. That was my 2020 resolution, was to make more friends here. And let's blame the virus for that. So, I don't know if you've been following Joe Rogan, but he is moving to Spotify. I don't know what that means for his podcast feed. Just for people who don't know, the way most podcasts work, including mine, is that you have a feed. It's called an RSS feed that is used by iTunes and Spotify and Google Play, and really in any sort of like podcast app that you have in your phone, especially if you have an Android phone that has something like Podcast Addict. The way it works is that it takes a feed, and then your phone can use that feed to download the episode. It's actually really nice, because you can totally self-host the whole thing, like I've actually done with my podcast. Starting with this episode, this is completely self-hosted on my own servers. So there's no like middleman like watching this. There are the podcast aggregators like iTunes and Spotify, which will show like in listings where the podcast is. But the actual content itself, it's not like YouTube where it's held in its servers. It's on your own stuff. And in iTunes and all these other providers are simply providing a directory for people to download them. It's really cool. But Joe Rogan just announced that he's going strictly to Spotify. So I wonder if that means that Spotify is going to be like the sole host of it, which would make more sense from, you know, Spotify's perspective, so they can have that whole audience. I think they paid very little for it, though. They said $100 million for Joe Rogan's audience, which I think is way, way too little. It should have been like close to a $1 billion deal, in my opinion. Or at least like 500 million or something, because he has such a gigantic audience. There's a great article somewhere I read that sort of compares Joe Rogan to a farmer who's on top of an oil field and, like, you know, is given a check for 50 grand instead of, you know, making like the millions off the oil that's sitting underneath his feet. It's kind of what that's kind of true with especially with Joe Rogan, and considering that he is bigger than Howard Stern right now, which I couldn't believe, and which it's got to be really fucking hard for Howard Stern. I love Howard Stern. I loved him. Now it's more of a respect thing, but, you know, a lot of my inspiration for this is listening to Stern most of my life. I loved him, especially whenever he had Artie on. So fucking funny. So good. But if you actually look at the statistics now, Joe Rogan has an audience that's like 10 times more than Howard Stern at this point, which is like insane. The guy from Fear Factor has 10 times more listeners than Howard fucking Stern right now. So, and Howard Stern, you know, makes, you know, gets paid like, I think, $80 million a year or something insane. So he has a bigger audience, getting paid a little bit less. So there's actually a great article. Instead of just saying I heard something, I think I should be a proper broadcaster and actually give the sources where I'm getting this from. So this is from Andrew Wilkinson, who is the co-founder of Tiny and Supercast. And he has this article on called Joe Rogan Got Ripped Off. And I think a lot of this is a little bit inaccurate just because they act like Joe Rogan is totally getting ripped off with this deal. But that is very contingent on if he keeps his RSS feed or not. If he keeps his podcast feed and you can still go to wherever and listen to the podcast, then that still makes it like his own. That still makes it something that he's in control of, which I think still, you know, gives him value. And if he still posts on YouTube, you know, if he still does clips and stuff on YouTube, then that's still, you know, going to give him that. And that's probably going to be the way it's going to go. I'd be very surprised, unless they were giving him, like I said, like $1 billion, that he would cut ties to all of their platforms. But the what's very interesting about this article is they have Howard Stern listeners versus Joe Rogan. So it has here at Howard Stern has about 1 million listeners. And one thing with Howard Stern on Sirius, and this is something that's pissed me off ever since he went on there, is that he pretends like all of the Sirius subscribers are his listeners. I think there's like 28 million or so like Sirius subscribers, and he acts like they're all there for him. So whenever he, you know, goes and does publicity to get guests and stuff, he'll use those figures as like, oh, well, 28 million people listen to me and they're paid subscribers. That's not true, Howard. I'm sorry. They're not all for you. You know, so this one has a more realistic and still generous viewership share figure, which is 1 million listeners, which I think is generous, especially Howard Stern now. Maybe when he first went to Sirius, he had way more. But now, I mean, even his biggest fans, like other podcasters I've heard who like him a lot, it's just his show isn't the same anymore. It's not, it's like a weird, like, publicity vehicle for kind of aging A-list celebrities. It's just not as funny. Once they removed the Sibian, it was over. That to me was the time where I was like, this show is over, because, you know, it's just not the same. Like, Howard has decided to finally grow up and mature at the age of like 100 now. Has decided that now he's going to be, you know, the America's Got Talent, you know, family friendly Howard Stern. And he made this book too that came out called Howard, like, Tells All or something. I think it's Howard Comes Again. Howard Comes Again. And the entire book is just interviews that he had on his radio show written out. That's it. It's just this big list of times he's talked to people and he just had some monkey go in there and turn it into text and put it into a book. How fucking lazy. So yeah, Howard Stern, you got a million listeners. Deal with it. Now, how many people do you think listen to Joe Rogan? Like maybe 2 million? Maybe like 4 million? 5 million? It's 11 million. Joe Rogan's audience is 10 to 12 times bigger than Howard Stern. That it's insane, but he earned it. To be totally honest, like Joe Rogan works his ass off. That's something I think a lot of people don't appreciate about him, is that that motherfucker makes a podcast every day, like four. I think it's 4 days a week. It's Tuesday to Friday, but he makes long, like 2 to 3 hour shows with interesting guests all the time, and that's just the time just recording it. You know, he has to, you know, work like constantly putting people on. And I think, you know, he's now on, you know, somewhere in like the mid, like 1500s. Let me check really quick, see what his episode count is. So he's currently at 1479 podcast episodes. And if you watch his early ones, they're awesome because he's just learning as he goes. Like he has like these crappy microphones. His first guest was just his producer. And, you know, especially those early episodes are funny because they're like in like his like living room or something. And it's like all dark with like Christmas lights. And he worked his ass off and made the audience and made good, interesting content. You know, I think he's such a good interviewer because he's very humble about his intelligence, which I think is a very good way to talk to people. Just like a little advice. Especially if you think you're a smart person, no one wants to hear that shit. Like no one does. You know, you just don't. Like it's actually way more humbling to go to people and you know, not try to well actually them all the time and just let them educate you. Even if it's something you heard, you know, just to hear it. You know, I would always tell people I'd rather be known as someone who seems stupid but is actually smart than someone who acts smart and is actually stupid. I would much rather break people's expectations. I would much rather rise above people's expectations than try to be like this fucking smart ass all the time. It's something I myself like to do. But yeah, so he's you know, he earned it. He's now famous. Not only is he at Howard Stern levels, he's far beyond it. And I think a lot about how much Howard would shit on podcasters and the internet in general. And I kind of feel for him because Stern joined Sirius in what, like 2005, like kind of right while mobile internet was starting to take place. And once people could start listening to music on their phones and their cars, it was over for the satellite model. The satellite model is just all the worst parts of radio. The only thing that's kind of cool is that it's satellite, so you can use it where there aren't cell towers. But where the hell is that anymore? That's not a thing anymore. Like there's cell towers everywhere. If a trucker can't get a cell signal, they can't really do their work. I don't know. I'm not a trucker. Someone wants to message me and tell me different, but it's just not. And so Sirius XM has just been in a big state of like denial over this for the last 15 years. I feel like they've just been denying that people don't give a shit about having a satellite radio in their car. Also, mostly because it sounds bad. That to me is what kills me for it. Like my dad used to have it, and you know, you'd listen to these cool, like, you know, rock stations and stuff. It sounds like it's coming out of a fucking tin can. Like it's just terribly compressed. It's worse than an MP3, and you know, worse than Spotify, way more. So, you know, I kind of feel for Howard for you know, being you know, loyal to a company that gave him what at the time probably seemed like this crazy awesome opportunity. Like, holy shit, I get to have my own station and it's like satellites and shit. Like how much more advanced could you get with radio? Like that's as big as you could go. but sadly technology didn't work out that way for him. And like pretty much immediately the streaming and podcasting model beat the fuck out of satellite radio a million times. And I wish that he could just kind of just stop his ego about it, about being a real radio man, and just move to his own platform. In this article I talked about before with Joe Rogan, they also mentioned Stern, that if Stern just went ahead and made howardstern.com a subscription only service and just did shows on there, and instead of being like a part of Sirius, just made his own online network, he'd make 2 to 3 times the money, like easily. People who sign up for Sirius and just use him are getting ripped off for both parties. People who pay $12 a month, or I think it's $10 or something, to use Sirius XM to just listen to Stern, they're overpaying, and then Stern is getting way less for these people who just want to hear him.
I'm totally lost and it's freaking me out.
Don't even, Anthony.
They don't know what's real and what's a game.
Drop it! Recoil. Not like shooting a video game, huh?
Actually, it's exactly the same.
I like talking about kind of movies and video games in the last episode, so thought I would bring that up again, kind of what I've been watching and playing. Video game side, this is a game that I actually watch way more than I play because it is one of the hardest games and has the meanest user base ever to play it. It's called DEFCON. It's based off the 1983 movie War Games, especially the parts at the end where they have those cool maps with all the countries and like the nuclear bombs going across. It's based off that. It's kind of an older game. It's like about 15 years old, but it looks really cool. Like, you know, you get control of a country and then you can decide which other ones to nuke or which to do diplomacy with. And you set up kind of navies and stuff like that before the nukes go off. But it's incredibly tactical and it has a really big ceiling from beginner to expert. And the problem is, since it's such an old game now, like only the diehard expert fans play it and sort of new people who are just trying it out. And because there's so many diehard expert fans at it, they're very picky about who they play with. And more often than not, if you play a game, even if you win with a person on their team, because sometimes you can do 2x2, you can do 2 countries versus 2 countries. Even if you are on their team and you win with them, or even if they like beat you, the biggest complaints you'll get is that you wasted their time. Because the games do go kind of long. They can go sometimes maybe 2 hours. But many times I've played just to get grilled by some guy about how I don't know what the fuck I'm doing and that I need to watch more games before I play them. And just, it's really mean. And like I said, even to your own teammates, people are just fucking brutal about how you're playing and how stupid you are. Because the game does work that there's certain strategies that give it away that you don't know what the fuck you're doing right away. If you ever decide to play it, one of them is to space out your nuclear silos. Whenever you start the game, you can put your silos in certain parts of the map. And the only strategy that works is to put them all together. Because if you put them all together, they can protect each other and they're harder to detect. So as soon as you see a player who has their silos like spread around in a logical manner around the country because they're thinking like, oh, well, I want to have one set protected in case they can't find it, you know right away this person's a scrub and they're going to be fucking destroyed. And it is a slow, humiliating destruction where usually they just leave the game. And as soon as you leave the game, it just turns your territories into a CPU controlled opponent. So it's not a big deal, but it's just funny to watch. And I actually watch more than I play, way more. It's tough. First of all, it's hard enough to just find someone to play with. If you go on the servers to find opponents, you can wait there for like 5 hours until you finally get a real human opponent. And if they are a new user, they suck ass, and usually they'll just quit the game as soon as they realize that they're going to be absolutely destroyed by you. Or you get a veteran player, which is the opposite, where they will tell you before the game starts, they'll say, "Are you good? Do you suck?" That's like the number one thing you'll hear as soon as you start playing in the chat is, "Do you suck?" And you don't want to say you suck, so you're like, "Oh no, dude, I got this. Don't worry." And you do suck, and you have wasted this person's time for 2 hours. So I actually watch it more than I play it, and it's cool because they've created this community of game recording. So a lot of the games on the servers, even though people, you know, there's only a game of like 5 hours on there, there's so little people who play DEF CON that my handle is the letter J. Like, there's no other like bullshit in front of it, like Walker, like 5,000 or anything like that. Whenever I'm on DEF CON, you want to find me, you just look for the single letter J. If you see a single letter J, that's your boy Jaywalk. So there's less than 26 active people like playing this game, at least. But what's cool is that there's a big like there's people who really love the strategy of it. So they actually do game recordings of it, but not like a game recording where you just record the screen. They actually record all of the data of the match being done. So you can use a program that some nerd invented where you can load up the game data from a match that just finished and actually like scroll around the map, like watch all of the fighting happen, watch all of this, the communications that they do with each other. And it's really fun. It's fun. I'll usually just put it on one of my screens while I'm looking at something else, and then just watch the mayhem ensue, and watch some poor kid just get totally yelled at and humiliated for not being a loser in their 40s who's got this game down to a T. So fun game, DEF CON. It's called DEF CON Everyone Dies or something like that, but it's a DEFCON, DEF CON. And if you play it, let me know, because I would love to just play with just a friend. Like I said, my name is Jay. Look for the letter J, and that's me. TV shows I've been checking out is I've been really getting back into Tom Green. Tom Green has been creating a lot of new content lately. He's, you know, like many people, including me, is trying to use this quarantine time as a time to build something that you really wanted to build and couldn't before. And what he's doing right now, I respect so much, because his whole strategy, his sort of new challenge to himself, is to do the show now completely by himself. So he does all of the mixing, all of the engineering, all the video work, everything by himself, which is new for him. Even though he's a total pro with broadcasting, I mean, you think about it, he's been running a show since like the mid 90s. Like as a kid, he was running a TV show with like a live studio audience and like way more involved than just a podcast, but he was doing it. And now that he's older, he has this thing he calls Webovision, where he does a live podcast. You can actually call in and talk to him and stuff. I haven't done that yet. I finally got his number. I'm going to drive it next time he comes on. So he's been doing all these cool podcasts, and they're okay. You know, Tom Green's whole thing is messing with people. And as he's gotten older, he hasn't gotten lame, which is nice. He's just gotten nicer. You know, he just doesn't, he just doesn't want to go out there and screw around with that. And his show is just kind of calling fans, saying how great he is. He has a super annoying telephone ringer in the background. That is kind of funny, but it is kind of more annoying than funny, but that's the idea. So, you know, in addition to him doing all this cool broadcasting on his own, he's also releasing all of these old Tom Green clips. You know, a lot of the ones that he recorded were completely his own. This was before MTV. Even on MTV, he would use the clips from his own show. So he has this like archive of like thousands of hours of hilarious Tom Green pranks. And I've been, watching them. He's been releasing them and stuff. And my favorite one that I've seen, and I'll play a little clip of it, is there's one where he's on a bus, and it's like a tour bus. and he keeps on saying things suck. So let's have a listen to that real quick.
No, I'm visiting too. Yeah, I've only been here for about an hour. But after looking at that for about 5 minutes, I started to realize that it really sucks.
Man, this sucks, man. This sucks. Oh, man.
Empire would retire here.
Oh, that sucks.
Eventually
I think that kind of architecture sucks.
Great little East Indian restaurant up on the left.
East Indian food sucks. I think East Indian food sucks. Spicy food. Spicy food sucks.
It's just classic, like harmless comedy. You know, like watching back the Tom Green skits, they are way more harmless than I remember. They are way just silly and just stupid and funny. And that's what I like, you know, a lot about them now. There's a lot of comedian prank channels that are just fucking mean, even though I do still laugh at them. But they're just a different thing where they're just straight up just mean to people and just annoy them. Tom Green's whole thing was that he was just a sweet, oh, I'm sorry, Canadian who would just do fucking ridiculous like things, just would shout things. And, you know, another one I really like is the where he buys condoms and it's just such a like a juvenile, like dumb joke, but it's just funny to just go in, and especially in 90s Canada where they're just they don't understand conflict. You can kind of see them. They just giggle and they laugh. That's what is so kind of sweet about it. Like in the condom episode, he just tells the pharmacist like, oh, I need some condoms. I'm going to be with a woman. And I'm going to be, you know, yeah, I think it's kind of funny that you know where these are going to go later and I do. And no one except for one lady in the store kind of gets onto him. They just giggle and laugh. You know, they just think it's funny. And he's just being a juvenile idiot, which is underrated comedy. So, ladies and gentlemen, I finally got a guest on my show. Hooray. I finally got a guest. And my first guest is a music producer, rapper, and slightly infamous social media poster named Charles Clark. I was trying to get him on for a few weeks. We, you know, like with all remote guests, kind of blows because you have to try to figure out how to record them on the other end. And in this case, I decided to give them an old, Edison gramophone from the early 1900s. It's on a wax cylinder and they have to scream into a horn. So it might sound a little bit distorted, but just know that that's a limitation to the wax cylinder Edison technology. And, you know, Charles Clark was sitting there like rolling blunts and, you know, drinking lean. I ain't got time to explain to him, you know, we got to like do some tech rehearsals and stuff. You know, this guy was giving me his precious, precious time. And I said, okay, we can use the wax cylinder gramophone to record this. So give me your complaints about audio quality. I decided to go ahead and just release this pretty much unedited, besides some kind of technical stuff. I actually thought about cutting it a lot shorter. For the sake of integrity to my guest, I thought it would be better to just release the whole thing. Because I don't want to go on a slippery slope of starting to cut up people's conversations and stuff like that. So good and bad. Here's the whole interview. Enjoy.
Feeling pretty good.
So how's your lockdown been?
Oh man, you know how it's not really been that great, but you know, trying to roll with the punches as it's coming, you know, my mom passed away, but you know, yeah, I'm trying to work through it. You know, everyone's struggling right now. I feel bad for everybody going through something, for sure, because I've definitely been going through it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's such like a bummer just for everyone. You know, really no one, unless they're like super wealthy and have like a loving family and friends at home, I guess, you know, it's a little bit better. But yeah, for most of us, you know, we're just trying to get by. The same with me. I mean, I'm just kind of getting by. I had a good year last year where I made some good cash, and I was hoping to use that for fun things this year, but now I'm just using it to kind of survive. So I'm there with you.
Yeah, I heard it hit L.A. pretty hard. Like, the California area got hit pretty hard by it. I know Texas did.
Yeah, you know, out here, it's I'm in a little beach town, and not that many cases, like 11 cases, but it's just because there's so many people in LA. I don't think it's as bad as you would think out here, just because California, a lot like Texas, it's a car culture kind of thing. So, you know, in New York, they're right on top of each other. So that's why they have a lot more cases. But here, you know, we're used to drive-thrus and stuff. And, you know, it's
right about that one.
Yeah, they were going to close down the beaches, and that for me would be like the last straw, because first of all, the beach is totally fine. There's plenty of open air, but I'd be like, shit, man, like, what am I paying all this money for if I live next to the beach, I can't go to it. That was the last straw for me, but, you know, so far, yeah, I've just been staying here.
Yeah, I totally feel that one, man. That must suck. Look at something every day and you can't experience it.
Yeah.
I've been there. Very beautiful out there. I love LA, man.
Oh yeah. So you would go visit LA a lot?
Man, it was just a time when my sister, you know, she moved out there, and you know, I wanted to be supportive, so I went out there and I visited her, and you know, I had a really good experience, you know, without and with her, because she's not really big into marijuana or any of that kind of thing, so she didn't really want to take me to the med shop, but I definitely went and had some fun with those. And the beaches were great, man. Venice Beach. I went to Laguna. I saw most of the really nice ones, man. It was a beautiful country, I will say that.
Man, I love it. I love that area. I love, you know, Venice and Malibu. Those are my favorites. And it's the weed shop. I mean, whenever you're out here, it's just a store now, man. It's not even like a card necessary. It's literally a store right next to my grocery store. So I will go get like cash back at the grocery store then go pick up some cannabis. I can't smoke though. It's such a bitch. That's the one thing that my landlady is not into is the smoke smell. But I've gone on to vaping. I got a little dabbing pen, and it gets the job done, you know. But
hey,
it does.
She's finding some way, bro. she can't stop you, you know.
Talk I know, dude. It was such a lame, like my mom getting on to me shit, because like I never do anything wrong here, and I, you know, play by the rules. That was just one rule that I was like, oh, whatever, you're not going to tell. But I guess I was blazing
it
extra
legal
hard.
There. I mean,
right?
Can't there, then where can you?
Exactly. Right. I was like, dude, it's half the reason I moved to this freaking state, you know, was just for legal weed. It was.
That was one thing I didn't really make sense a lot with my sister. She's not into that. And I was like, well, why did you move here? You know, if you wanted to drink, you could have stayed in Texas. You can do a lot of that there, you know, but their Texas still is very strict, man. I mean, if you get caught with 1 gram, you're going to jail,
dude. It's real drugs, man. Whenever I visit my friends, it'll be funny. They're like hiding with the joint and stuff. And I remember, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like illegal.
Yeah, man. It's totally different game in Texas. For those who do not know, it is very crazy up here for the weed. The cops are not playing around. For some reason, no one really understands it, but nobody wants to go to jail here. So,
you know, what's funny is I never had, you know, too much trouble with the police with weed. Now, I have gotten in trouble with paraphernalia, but last time I was in Texas around 420, I had a big smoke out at my house on 420, and these cops showed up. You know, I'm 32 myself, and at the time I think I was like 28 or something, and the police are now the same age as me, which is like such a trip, you know, because like this dude who's like my age is at my door. He's like, hey man, if you're gonna smoke all this weed, at least close the windows. That's what he told me.
Yeah, they're just telling you, hey, we don't want to.
Dude, yeah.
They don't like to deal with it, man.
Yeah, it's a waste of time. They
think of it as just an annoyance, and eventually they're gonna get annoyed with you enough to arrest you. That's really how it works here.
As a teenager, I mean, I remember a friend got busted with an ounce, and it was like a big fucking deal. It was a big deal to have that much.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Shit. I almost got shot over a gram.
Oh my God.
Arlington. Yeah. They pulled out guns. They're ready to shoot me, man.
Damn.
Yeah. It's no joke here with that. They're very against it, but hopefully Texas will eventually, you know, see the tax revenue hopefully, I don't know. Here there's fucking, you know, account by people that have experienced something like this, that maybe they'll eventually see that the money outrules the, you know, the stipulations that they have at the moment. But, you know, we can always hope. You know, Texas is not that bad of a place to live. I think that would be the one thing they would need to change to really be on, you know, California's level. But that's just my opinion. I mean, it's a lot of people's opinion.
I think eventually it'll be legal. I think it's just a matter of just kind of people getting over the stigma of being a stoner. That's amazing. Even out here, I mean, it's why, like, I'm not allowed to smoke at my place, is because my landlady, even though she's here, they have the stigma that if you smoke weed, that you're a loser, you know, and you're just like a pothead. And, you know, it's just like a glass of wine or anything else. One of my next guests I'm hoping to get on is this guy who actually ran this cannabis coalition in his city. There's a really small town in here called Lompoc that I used to live at, and he is the most successful political dude I've ever met, because this was a town, even though statewide it was legal, like, the town was like, we're not having it, like, we don't want pot shops and all this, and he totally turned him around. He just started petitioning to them and showing up at city council meetings and making the argument, you know, that you said this about booze like 100 years ago, you know, and now we make tons of money off it. And now that little city has like 4 dispensaries. It's nuts. It's a booming industry.
I mean, people don't really realize that it's a multi-billion dollar industry, man. I think the first day when Colorado made it, you know, rec legal, they made $1 million. This is a billion-dollar industry, man. People don't realize how many people smoke. Like, everybody smokes or takes CBD or some kind of cannabinoid in some way. It's time that, you know, maybe the government start making some money off of it. They were intelligent. That's how I view it.
It's so silly too, to have all these like politicians, you know, say, oh, well, I smoked in college, but I'm still going to bust your ass for it now. You know, it's just unfair.
Yeah. Very, very suspicious to me. Like, I mean, man, they probably just never stopped smoking it, man. Like,
yeah,
you know how politicians are. A lot of what they say is not always the truth.
Oh yeah, man, Trump. Dude, it's rules for thee and not for me. That's how a lot of rules are. Yeah,
that's all it's about with politicians, is get your vote. Oh, now I got your vote. I mean, they don't have to return on any of what they said because they already got it. They already got your vote.
Yeah.
What do they need to do anything? They already got your vote. That's kind of the messed up part about politics, is it's a lot of it's about getting the vote and not changing and making the changes that you know, humanity really needs. It's about telling lies to get a vote. I mean, we don't need that. We need, people are dying right now, you know, this election year's coming. We need real people that are actually trying to help humanity and not trying to get profit or get a vote. This is a time for change, man, or else it could be the end of what we worked so hard for over the years.
Yeah, no, I feel you. You know, speaking of that, and, you know, kind of, you know, legalizing substances, I wanted to ask you, you know, I don't want to incriminate you at all. I know you like weed, maybe some other things. So, you know, I was wondering what you thought about, like,
I'm just going to make this real clear. I'm not really under any kind of cases right now. All my stuff has been dismissed. So I'm free to answer any question, man.
Okay. You know, I am a big fan of psychedelics. It's not something I do a lot. It's kind of a sacred thing. Have you ever tried like LSD before?
Yes, man. I believe I tried LSD when I was about 16 years old.
Yeah.
And I've probably done it around 100 times. Sometimes though, with LSD, you have to be careful because it will not always be LSD. Somebody can give you a different kind of chemical and it'll be a bad trip. But most of the trips that I've had with real LSD-25 have been very good, and it kind of can help you connect with people. And I think it can help you deal with addiction as well. You know, it can help you come off something that you've been on for a while. But yeah, I think that it's a positive thing for sure. And, you know, the government has done testing with it as well. It's just, you just got to get the real deal, man. There's a lot of the fake going around, you know what I mean? And it can be a bad trip when you don't get the real one. The real one don't The real one don't taste like nothing.
If it's bitter, it's a spitter, right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah, yeah. Man. That's the one thing. If I'm going to talk about drugs, I'm going to talk about, you know, what's going on in 2020 and the bad side of it as well. I don't think LSD is bad, but there are certain drugs out there that people can, you know, finesse you for that can be detrimental to your health. That's all I'll say about that.
Oh yeah. You know, cause that's kind of all my experiences is with that. And, you know, and I used to have a lot of music festival friends. That's something I actually wanted to talk to you about. It's kind of the state of electronic music and stuff and that whole kind of scene. It was an interesting scene because it was like hippies meet like EDM music. It was very strange, you know, like a lot of like acid sort of themes and stuff, but like heavy electronic, they call it bass music. Have you ever heard of that before?
What do they call it?
They call it bass. That's like the genre bass. Is like bass, and it's like like a really low dubstep. My friends fucking love that shit. Like, I think it's a little annoying sometimes, but they love that stuff.
The shows are pretty cool, man. I'm not gonna lie. Like when I was, you know, in the heyday, you know, me and my friends, we went to EDC before it was banned. You know, we were really into that. You know, again, you got to make sure your stuff's real, even with the Molly. You know, Molly is very prevalent at those events as well. A lot of people try to sell you bath salts as Molly, and it can be a very bad time. So as long as your stuff, you know, pass a test kit and, you know, you're around a good group of people, you're going to have a good time. I'm not going to say that I'm a huge fan of all the music, but hey, man, yeah. I mean, it's a good time, especially if there's a few, you know, pretty ladies in the group and they're dressed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can be a hell of a time, man.
It is. It always is a good time. You know, I like them. And whenever my friends, I always tell them, like, you know, might not like the music, but I dig the attitude and love creative people. You know, that's something very important to me with people that I like is that I like people who create their own kind of fun, have their own kind of vibe. Like people who just want to go to a show or something are never as much fun as people who make the shows happen. And that's kind of why I wanted to talk to you know, is that especially a few years ago, whenever you were, I guess, maybe a little more active online, you know, you had so many projects like constantly hustling at, and I just respect that a lot, man. I wanted maybe you could tell me kind of about, you know, kind of the struggle of, you know, trying to make your own stuff.
Well, you know, in 2020, man, it's very difficult to really, you know, blow up in music unless, you know, you do something like 6ix9ine. That's just really ridiculous. Yeah. And it takes a lot of, you know, persona and a lot of visuals right now to really blow up in music. For me, I was just trying to make it, you know, any way possible, whether it's playing guitar or singing, you know, DJing, man, you know, I can really play drums. You know, I really try to train myself to do everything because who knows, you know, I might need that on a record and I maybe can't pay a person to do that. You understand? Like,
yeah.
With me, it's just, I'm always just trying to get better, man. And, you know, I was in hip hop groups. I played in rock bands and I've even done some DJing in the past. And, you know, it's all fun, man. It's all a different scene on its own, but I really enjoy playing with my band the most, you know. I think that was the most fun for me. Because, you know, we would take, you know, LSD and perform and all kinds of things, man. It was a fun project. And, you know, it unfortunately all came to an end due to some things that didn't really surround me. It was a relationship between, you know, my sister, you know, she kind of got romantically involved with a few people.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that tends to break things up, like with Yoko Ono with the Beatles type thing. You know what I mean?
Dude, once you add people to something, it's makes it all harder. It's actually why my show is by design kind of my own thing no matter what. Like, no, because it's really tough. I was in bands as a teenager. I play guitar. I'm playing guitar since I was 10 years old. And being in bands taught me as a kid so much about like how to make your will happen with other people. Do you have any experience like with that of trying to like wrangle up people, especially if you're not paying them, you know, to make stuff for you or to help you out? Do you have a special gift for that?
Well, man, you know, our first show, I was just talking to my, you know, friend, we actually did pretty good, man. We sold out the spot and it actually, you know, it helped us, you know, make money in the beginning. So I was able to break my bandmates off some money. So
that's cool.
You know, but yeah, I mean, first gig, man, we did really well. We sold it out. You know, we were versus, you know, some other big people in the scene. I don't know if you've heard of Flickerstick, but one of the dudes, one of the main dudes from Flickerstick was also on that lineup. You know, the Dang It's, a band that had been around for 10 years. They're a great band. You know, we're also on that lineup. And, you know, us being a rookie, we're able to really outsell bands that have been around for 10 years just because I had built that buzz online. You understand?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, you know, that's honestly the main reason I wanted to talk to you is you know how to generate buzz online. You have nearly 3,000 friends on Facebook, right?
Man, I've kind of limited to it. And now I'm kind of, you know, shrinking the amount.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lot of followers on Instagram too, but man, life's not about followers. Life's not about friends. It's really about the real friends, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was all to help promote my music, you know, to be honest with you, man.
Okay.
You know, my cousin put me on that game, and that's just how I learned to do that. He said he had done the same thing in Colorado.
Okay.
You know, he had a little group as well. It's not, they're also pretty good. I think they're named the Coves or something.
Okay.
But, you know, he had generated a little buzz in his town that way. And he told me, you know, that's how he did it. So
it worked out. I mean, so well. You know, it just, you had like a article written about you and just, you know, a lot of my friends. Okay. You mentioned the hipsters, and I'm going to say it right now. A lot of my friends are those hipster types, and I love them, but sometimes they take it a little too far with their sensitivities on things. A little too far with the sensitivities.
Yeah.
Cause I thought, you know, what you were posting and everything was funny. You know, I was like, this is hilarious. And then people can't
supposed
take
to be,
it,
yeah.
You know, take
I felt
it too
like,
serious.
Yeah, some people didn't like take the joke. I mean, 6ix9ine, I feel like he is also a joke.
Yeah.
And people kind of get mad at him as well. I never really molested kids like him or, you know, did any of that shit.
Yeah.
But man, you know, I mean, most of what I say is a joke, man.
Yeah.
It's supposed to make people smile and laugh. And, you know, if you don't feel good at the end of the day, you're fucking up, in my opinion. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, like, totally. And I think, you know, I think a lot of the vitriol and the uneasiness was whenever you talk about women. Which is, you know, it's not that bad. I got in trouble personally for using the word slut online because I had no idea that is like the N word.
I'm not
going to
lie.
Now.
I got called out for using the term today, female.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Is that derogatory?
No.
No, not in any term.
No.
And I think women today, just like Dave Chappelle, I think they're doing it right, but they're not doing it the right way. That's all I'm going to say. You need to go view Dave Chappelle. He talks about it too, man.
Yeah, doesn't...
The female is not a derogatory term.
Oh, yeah. No, he has a great saying on that. I watched that same special, and he basically said, you know, like, compared to black people, like, women are just upset about their cut. You know, like, they're just... I love that line, because he's like, listen, you can't just suddenly act like you're a minority now. Like, you are just upset, you know, because your men have been getting the lion's share of this oppression, you know? And now you want a little bit more of it.
Yeah, I'm going to be real with you, is females today have a lot more rights than they ever did back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and right now is a great time to be a female. I think that, you know, they can excel. They're intelligent. I have nothing bad to say about them, but right now, man, they can really, you know, become something. And I think that's cool. You understand?
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we should still treat women better than men. That's what I tell, you know, my friends who are really like big on the feminism, and I can kind of do my own thing. I'm like, I got you one better, lady. Like, I don't just think we're equal. I think you're better than me. Like, I want to open the doors for you. Like, I want to, you know, like, bring you up. And
that's right.
You know, that's how I was taught to be a man.
Yeah. But, you know, you also got to keep in mind, though, is girls don't really like the gentleman nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
They're all into the bad boy, you know?
Yeah.
Nowadays, when you try to be the good dude and you try to be the hero, you don't really get the girl, because the girls are after the bad boy. They'll all tell you it, man. it's just something wired in their head, man. That's just what they like. You know, it's weird.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. But it's something that they like, man. I mean,
it's something I go like back and forth on because, you know, it's confidence number one. I mean, a lot of supposedly nice guys. I mean, I'm a nice guy. I probably have not gotten as late as much as you, Charles, but I've had my fair share. But, you know, I still have that confidence. And, you know, you don't really like girls don't want to see someone, you know, just get stepped on and stuff. You know, they don't want to be
exactly.
smacked around, but they,
yeah.
you know, they want a man,
exactly.
you know, so it's
exactly, man.
But it does break my heart, you know, to see girls deal with, you know, really shitty boyfriends, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. You're onto it, man. I can tell that you're hip to the game as well, man. Like, You can't let them step on you, man. That's the one that they don't want. It's weird. I used to be, man, I'm not going to lie, man. I used to be the really good guy, the perfect boyfriend. And I would try to do everything for the woman. And I mean, yeah, I got with them and yeah, it was cool, man. But, you know, in the end, that's not what they wanted. It was weird. Mm-hmm. I can't really explain it to you. It's something I will never understand women. I don't think you will or any man will, man. It's something I can't really talk about because it's something I'll never understand.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Have you ever heard of pickup artist techniques?
Yes.
Yeah? Do you ever try to use any of those, like the peacocking and stuff and the negative?
Some of them do work, but you just got to be low-key about it. My cousin... He was really terrible with them, man. He was really big into that.
Yeah.
And this is a different cousin than my last one who taught me about the band thing. It's just, man, going out with him to pick up girls, man, it was like a circus sometimes, bro. but sometimes he would get bad girls. It was weird. Like, he would end up, you know, linking up with them, but he couldn't maintain them. It was just kind of funny, man.
Do you think that he tried too hard?
With him, man, I almost don't want to talk about something. All right. All right. I'll talk about this because this girl, you know, she's openly my friend and, you know, I can bring this up. Okay?
This is all for jokes, guys. Like, this is, you know, don't get your pants.
I can bring this one up because this me and this girl are cool. So my cousin and I go to Hooters, right? And there's this waitress and, you know, I'm not going to lie. She's pretty bad. Like, I would say that she is attractive, very attractive.
All right.
My cousin proceeds to pull out his phone and tries to take a picture, and she blocks the phone. And she's like, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "I'm trying to take a picture so I can put you on my dream board." And she's like, "No. No, you know, like, what are you doing, bro?" Like, he tries to take the picture still. She's again blocks the camera, and yeah, man, she calls him a total weirdo. But you know, occasionally, you know, me and her hang out. You know, she's cool. Like, she's come over to my crib, and we've had a good night together, and you know, it's been totally chill. You know, it's really about how comfortable you are with a woman. You know, if they can tell that you've been comfortable with a woman before, they're gonna be into you. You know, I mean, hell, she comes over every now and then. She answers the door to me in a towel. I mean, that's got to say that she's pretty comfortable with me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I get a feeling that, you know, you kind of put off a vibe that, you know, what you see is what you get. You know, it's not like a creepy thing. That's what I've noticed with women that I know and I'm friends with, is that, you know, if you're just right out there and you're like, hey, I'm a guy who likes to have some fun. That's it. It's way easier than trying to be this sneaky, like, hey, come over and we'll just watch a TV show. So I'm with you on that. I think that's one of your gifts, Charles, is that you know, they feel comfy because they know what you're about, you know, and you're a real authentic person.
It's just, you can't be too forceful, man. You know, if a girl says no, I mean, you can just move on. I mean, whatever, you know, you can get a better one, but don't be too forceful. You know, you can't push the issue too much. And, you know, they made their choice. You know, they either chose you or they didn't. I think that's where a lot of guys, man, they don't want to accept the choice, and you got to as a man. You know, not every girl is going to say no. Not every girl is going to say yes, but you got to shoot your shot, or else you ain't ever gonna make it.
Dude, I totally agree.
You don't hit no targets.
Yeah, and rejection is nothing personal. You know, that's something I try to keep in mind, is that it's nothing personal.
On.
It's just, you just move on. They just, you know, it's not that they hate you or that you're not worthy. It's just, they're not into you. So that's great. That's really cool to hear about.
And it's cool to get that out there. You know, if they're not into you, you can get that out the way, man.
Dude,
shit.
Save so much
Most
time.
Guys, bro, it's been years. It's seen me making sure this girl's into him or not, and then they figure out 2 years later they're not. You might as well just get that out the way.
I like that,
That's
man.
That's how I look at it.
I like that. To the people kind of listening here, you know, who might not have like heard from you in a while, is there any like misconceptions that you maybe want to like tell them that maybe people think about you that's not true?
Yeah, man. One of the big misconceptions is, you know, that I'm brand new, that I was into this. You know, man, I grew up with a lot of the people that are really popular in the Fort Worth scene. Like, I'm not going to lie, man, I was a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Chris Luther and, you know, Rafe Payne, all the people that are in the bigger bands that people, you know, talk really good words about, you know, those kind of people brought me up as a little kid. So for you to not like me, in a sense, you're not liking them because they brought me up. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this music shit, man. Like, this shit is not new to me. I've been playing guitar. This is just something I've just been trying to do for a while. And I feel like, you know, the more and more that I try and the more and more, you know, people, you know, bring up my name, you know, that's better for me. You know, any press is good press, you know, like. I really do love women. You know, I've been brokenhearted by a few of them, but you know, not every girl can be your wife. So you just gotta roll with the punches, I guess. You know, I'm not a sexist. You know, I have female friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a racist. You know, my best friend is black. You know, I mean, anybody who has a misconception with me has never met me.
Fair enough. Whenever you become talented, do you think hater kind of comes with it? Like, I have some of my topics that, you know, I think Kanye said, like, or not, I think Biggie said, expect the hates. Is that true?
Yeah. Yes, most definitely, man. I'm not the only one to state that.
Yeah.
Leon Bridges, I don't know. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Oh, yeah.
He actually kind of blew up the bigger, you know.
Dude, they talk about him here all the time. I hear him on the radio.
Bro, they
and
hated on
nuts,
him,
man.
Everyone's hating on him.
I have heard some hate. I've heard some weird
bro,
hatred.
I mean,
just,
bro,
as
he wrote a whole
famous,
article about hating. He wrote an entire article about people hating on him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, honestly, bro, when he made it, that's when he earned my respect. You
Fair
know
enough.
What I'm saying? Because
yeah.
he told me he was going to blow up, and I'm like, oh, cool, you know, we'll see. And then he made it happen, and to me, he earned my respect that way. You know, he made his dream come true.
Nice. That's awesome. You know, I kind of want to talk about that article, if you want to, that came out. I heard something about like a lawyer and stuff. Did you ever kind of go through with that? Or was that just to kind of get this guy to settle down who wrote the article about you? I can't even find
it.
No,
man,
article,
I went and talked to my lawyer about it. You know, he said that, you know, I would have to sue, you know, Fort Worth Weekly, which honestly, man, I appreciate the Fort Worth Weekly.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't go after that one person, individual, because he was an entity of Fort Worth Weekly. And honestly, man, I appreciate, you know, Fort Worth Weekly.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to go after them as a whole company. You understand? Like, I have an attorney. You know, I have several attorneys, bro, just because I beat cases and shit like that I don't even really want to talk about, but
yeah
man, it was definitely a real situation. And, you know, the cool thing about something like this is, you know, you got my permission to talk about, you know, Charles Clark and what I do. And that's very cool of you to come and ask me. It's actually against the law for you, you know, write a whole article about somebody and not even ask their permission to use their band or anything, bro, because my shit is copyrighted. Every single song I've put out is federally copyrighted by the U.S. government. So if anybody were to try to steal my name and my music, I can legally sue them.
That's a good point. And plus, you know, if I was going to write an article on you, just like I'm doing now, I mean, I'd love just to talk to you. You know, I think it's just only fair, you know, to kind of hear that one side. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because then you're just hearing one person's opinion of somebody that they don't know. Like, I've never met that person.
Oh, really? You still haven't ever met him?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine being someone writing an article you never even met them. I mean,
yeah.
I even to make it a point to him, I was like, bro, you just wrote a fucking article of lies. Imagine if I just lied about you and made up lies about you. Like, I fucked your bitch and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be fucked up, right? I don't even know who you are, but I'm writing lies about you. Like, I don't know, man. It seemed like a weird flex to me.
Yeah,
at least get somebody that knows me, because there's a lot of people in the Fort Worth music scene that know me, man. Like, I'm serious.
Well,
like,
you know, I think it's Ricky, just I think a lot of it is that people like to have like kind of enemies. They like to make up a villain. And I think you made an easy, like, made up villain in a lot of people's heads to that, just because you do kind of speak your mind about women. And, you know, it's it was just an easy target. And that to me was what I couldn't really stand, was that, like, I knew so many, and I, you know, we can talk about hipsters
like
more
villain,
later. I know. Well, my male, like, friends in Fort Worth, because this was right before I moved, you know, were like, oh, man, it's fucked up. You see what this guy's posting? And it's like, you're complaining about him, but you love watching his posts, you know, like, but you love it. It's just, I'm like, dude, like, listen to yourself. I've gotten in a lot of arguments with people, especially because a lot of my friends, you know, are the kind of the hipsters in Fort Worth who are artist types and stuff. And it always boggles my mind whenever they turn really like pro censorship about something, whenever they're the artist types. I'm like, aren't you the type who should be into, like, you know, expressing and all that? Like, whenever that Kanye West video came out, the famous one where they're all like laying in the bed together, I had this like straight up like yelling argument with my friend's girlfriend. I was like, you call
Kanye
yourself an artist and you're so offended by this art, you know, you can't even like
Kanye.
Yeah,
man,
Kanye, dude. I like Kanye. He's got dragon
energy.
I love
Kanye. I'm not gonna say his new music is the best,
yeah,
but the dude was a legend, like, for a couple albums, man. Like, and a lot of people are so young, they don't even know about old Kanye, man. They just know about new crazy Kanye, which,
dude,
I still think he's good, like,
bro.
But he's just a little crazy now.
Dude, I like
old
it.
Old Kanye, old Kanye, man, he was the shit, man. Like, he's one of the top five rappers ever. I mean, Through the Wire, the dude rapped with his fucking jaw shut.
Dude, that's my favorite.
Like, dude, he's a legend. I mean, to downplay him, They haven't heard for the real Kanye, man. A lot of people don't even know about it, man. A lot of these artist types have never even heard College Dropout. They just seen Kanye wild out on, you know, Twitter and whatever, man. But he's talented, man. The man is talented. I mean, his mom died, man, and kind of shook him up real crazy, you know, but the man is talented.
Yeah, and I
bro.
Think if you're talented enough, you kind of have a right to be a little bit cocky and kind of goofy and stuff. That's what I always felt about him. Like, yeah, you know, he'll go on stage and be like, oh, I deserve this award. But I'm kind of glad that there are artists out there who are like, I got to be the fucking best. Like, I have that drive. I appreciate that drive in people.
Yeah, man. I mean, Kanye really did break barriers, man. Like, Graduation was the shit, man. Like, that album went in. Like, in every sense of the word. I mean, if you downplay Kanye to me, you must not have heard his old stuff. That's all I can really say.
Well, that's
I
awesome,
mean, he's
man.
A little crazy.
Yeah.
He's a little wild with Kim K now, but, man, you just go back a few fucking albums, you're going to hear a legend, you know? Like, that's really what I had to say about it.
Man, that's something we can definitely agree on a lot, is I'm a big Kanye fan. I got to wrap this up pretty soon, but there's two things that I really wanted to ask. I can't think of a good segue to get into them. So the first one is, what is lean? What is it like? I've never had it. It looks delicious. Can you just kind of explain that to me a little bit?
What is lean?
Yeah, like, what is it?
Oh, well, man, it's promethazine or promethazine with codeine.
Yeah.
Poured into like a soda, man. It's like, you gotta have prescription usually to get it. It's expensive as hell, especially for the red and the perp. It's actually in California. I hear that's where it's real prevalent right now.
I've never seen it, man. The party drugs that I've seen is your Molly, and they like the whippets a lot. I've seen a lot of people with those. The whippets, and where I go to festivals and stuff, but I've never ran into it, you know, and I don't know who to ask. That's what sucks.
Kind of rare, bro. It's kind of like a status symbol. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I sip it I sip it a lot, man. It's not really something that I will promote to young kids because it is addictive. But, man, it is delicious. You know, I'm sipping on some right now, to be real.
That's fucking awesome. Is it expensive? Yes. Like how much is, like, a cup of it?
It could be, like, depending on the color, but if it's purple, it's, like, $100 a cup.
Damn.
Yeah, bro. That's why all the rappers be flexing with it, bro, because it's hella expensive.
This is why I need to talk to you. That makes so much more sense. That's crazy. That's $100. That's like when I first found out how much cocaine is. I don't do cocaine at all. Yeah. I don't do it, just for the record for everyone. I don't do it. But one time I asked my friend, just curious, I'm like, how much does that cost? He's like, oh, it's like $100. It's like $100 a fucking, like, a gram. Yeah. It's nuts. So I'm too broke for that shit. I'm glad that you can enjoy it. Does it, like, make
Green promethazine, bro, is actually pretty cheap. Right. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, it don't have the codeine, and I mean, you can get it for like $100 a pint. So the green's pretty cheap, but if you ever want that red or that purple, you know, it's gonna be a lot of money, you know.
Damn,
the red and the purple is the high dollar one. The green, I mean, is like the poor man's one that most people can afford.
So what is it? Does it kind of like a drunk kind of feeling? Like I've you know, taken Robitussin before.
It's got alcohol in it.
Oh, I see.
It's got alcohol in it. It's got, I think the green's got 7% and the red's got 8%. And I think the purple's got like 8% alcohol. Man, it really just relaxes you, man.
I see.
It gets you in a sleepy mode. And especially when you're smoking, it can kind of help with the coughing and stuff.
That's,
you know,
cool.
it's really good with weed, you know.
That's nice. That's
where it's really good paired with, man. It's a really great thing, man. I wish people hadn't have made it so popular now, and it's really expensive and it sucks. But back in the 90s, you could get it really, relatively cheap. But now every rapper's made it so, you know, promoted that it's so expensive, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a Mercedes-Benz of drugs now because all the rappers made it like that.
That's nuts. Like, I wouldn't even know where to look. And it's just something I've thought about a lot. I'll see pictures of it, and I'm like, that sounds cool. I had no idea it was so expensive. Like, I remember Lil Wayne or someone was in an airport with like a big, like, bottle of it. So that must have been a few $100. It's nuts.
Yeah, man. It's expensive for sure.
Okay.
It's like a flex. It's definitely a flex. So when you see me always sipping here, you mean I'm spending hella bread to do that, man.
I love it. Okay, well, I got one last thing I wanted to ask you. It's about your style. I love the Coogies, man. Where do you get your Coogies?
Where did I get the what? The Coogie?
Is it Coogie? It's, thank you. I thought it was Coogie. It's Coogie. Is that how you pronounce it?
Oh, yeah.
The sweaters?
Man, I'm not going to lie, bro. Is one of my partners,
dude.
Bro, he just had them all, man. Like, he was like, man, I'm trying to get rid of these because, you know, Bill Cosby just came through with all that weird... He's like, man, I can't rock them no more. I'm like,
oh, damn. They look cool, man. I like
them. He sold them to me for the low, bro. Nice. He's actually hitting me up to buy them back, and I was like, man, I can't do it. I like them too much. You can't really wear them too much in the summer, which sucks, but, man, in the winter, they're perfect.
That's one thing that rocks about where I'm at in California is that it's you can wear the same wardrobe, like, all year round. Like, at nighttime, at nighttime, it gets down to, like, 60 and, like, high 50s.
Man, one thing I love about Cali, bro, is the weather, man.
You're the women, perfect weed, and weather. We got all three, baby. It rocks.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Charles. Well, I've been gabbing with you now for about 40 minutes, and I'm so glad I could finally get you on here. This will be a really fun episode that I'll put out this weekend, and I want to give you a chance if there's something you want to tell our audience, like to find your stuff or anything new you're working on. I want to give you that chance right now.
All right, man. You can just look me up, Charles Clark, on YouTube. I mean, you type in any song, you could probably find it. You know, I got a SoundCloud as well if you're into rap music. I'm on everything. You just look, just search for me. But yeah, man, lots of love from Texas, and hey, man, I love Cali, man. Dude, for real.
Likewise, man. I hope you have a great day, and hopefully I can talk to you again soon.
All right, man. It was a pleasure doing this.
All right, later.
Later.
Well, guys, wasn't that a fun episode? Learned a lot. I finally figured out what lean is and that it is way more expensive than I thought. I figured it was just like some Robitussin or something, you know, in a Sprite cup. Turns out it's what the young kids call a flex. It's a flex to have it. So I learned that. And I hope you stay tuned for episodes to come. There's going to be some more funny stuff. Hope you had fun here. Hope you have a great week ahead of you. Once again, you can email me at loweryourexpectationpodcast. Not lower your expectations. That was taken. The S was taken. It's loweryourexpectationpodcast@gmail.com. And I'm happy to say now that the show is on Apple iTunes and Spotify, maybe Google Play soon, but for right now it's there. It's also on my site, loweryourexpectation.com, but I would really recommend downloading the episodes, please, not streaming them off my site. They're there to stream if you want to, like, kind of, you know, look through them really quick. And who am I kidding? There's going to be like 20 people at most on my website. So I'm not too worried about bandwidth yet. But for right now, this is a completely self-hosted operation. So the files on there, I pay for the hosting on them. I'm actually limited to 64 megabytes per upload, and I have not told my hosting provider that I'm streaming a podcast on it at all. It's supposed to just be like a WordPress site, just to like have a blog or something, but it said unlimited bandwidth on the terms of service. It said unlimited in and out bandwidth, but I'm sure if, God forbid, this becomes popular and more than like 50 people download it, I'll probably get a letter from them to stop doing it. Which in that case, you know, the show's going to suck for everyone because I'm going to start charging money for it and getting sponsors. But that's nothing to worry about right now. So enjoy your week. Have a good time. Stay home. Stay safe, I guess, still, maybe. Unless you think it's like a hoax or something, unless you think it's a hoax by the government, then you should just, you know, say fuck it, fuck everyone, and just go out there and just start fucking hugging and kissing every motherfucker you see. So with that, I bid you adieu. But before you go,
next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Oh, your demonic little mustaches, your little homoerotic gang of mustaches. I'm red-blooded and I hate murderers. All right. You are now aiding and abetting it. You are literally going to hell in a handbasket. Repent now. Repent now. I know your mustache is cool. You got little gold-framed glasses. You scare me so bad. You scare me. Scum! All right, I'm going to stop right there. Oh, it makes me sick, and I'm going to have to watch them when they blow up some federal buildings, prance around the very murderers as my savior, and all the cowards out there begging the government, even proctology exams on the side of the highway. You know that guy's a coward. You know he's a piece of garbage. You know he's weak. Oh, he'd love it. Those are the type of people that go to the cops in Oklahoma and say, we'll kill your wives if you expose we did this. Oh, you got a mustache, it's okay! I'm sick of it! Murdering terrorists are everywhere! I want them out of my life!
I want to fight these son of a bitches! I don't want to have half measures! I don't want to die and have them win! I'm sick of their crap! And I don't know how to totally beat them, but first, you've got to get mad. You've got to get angry, you got to find your humanity, and you got to start kicking some New World Order ass in the info war before this thing gets physical. I will eat your ass. And that's why I want the globalists to know. I will eat your ass first.